There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same thing that Jesus by night said unto him, Rabbi, we know that our teacher comes from God, and no man can do these miracles without him except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, or new, or from above, cannot see the kingdom. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old, and enter the second time into his mother's womb to be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind blows where it listeth, the mouth hears the sound thereof, it can't not tell what to come to whither it goes. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel? Knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, and speak that we do know and testify that we have seen and we have received not our witness. If I told you earthly things and you did not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No man ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And if Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. But whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believes not in him is not condemned. He that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be revealed. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, and sees may be made manifest that they are lost and will lie. After these things came Jesus and his disciples from the land of Judea, very serious, and they were baptized. John also was baptized in the wilderness of Salem, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized. But John was not yet cast into prison. And there arose a question between some of John's disciples and Jews about purifying. And he came with John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with him beyond Jordan, who was not there, and told the same baptizer to all men come to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except to be given to him from heaven. He yourself bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He is not the bride, the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom is standing from the earth of him. The joy is greater because of the bridegroom's joy. This, my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is of the law. He that is of the earth is earthly. He speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is of the law. What he has seen and heard, that he testifies. No man sees his testimony. He that has received his testimony has kept his seal, that God is true, he whom God has sent. Speak the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure of his gift. The Father loveth the Son, and has given all things in his hands. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. Well, we know no more passage before us tonight. As we may not get too far on the chapter, but just a few meditations on these verses that we all, most of us, have enjoyed for so long. I'm sure there's that here which brings salvation to anyone in this room tonight who is not saved. They simply believe on the Lord Jesus. Because they have that beautiful verse here, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, and have everlasting life. How many souls have gone to heaven on that person, like the thief of the cross? And what a blessed thing it is to have the simplicity in one's soul, a simple faith in Christ, whatever else might be enjoyed. Sometimes, you know, when we get to reading books and things on the scriptures, we get a lot of head knowledge, but our hearts grow cold. But to have the simplicity in our soul, and what we have here, those who are simply dependent upon God and His Word. Now, you know, we have this verse in this chapter, and that's the bone of faith, doesn't it? And we were born into this world as babes to do nothing. We have to learn the things of nature, those things that are necessary for this life, and so it is in connection with the subject of new birth that we have here. Just as we were born into this world through God's act of creation, so and so was born to believe again by the action of God by the Spirit. We learn from Scripture that the Spirit of God is always the power that brings him to be. Whether it be in the world, or whether it be the soul that believes in Christ, it's good, it's precious faith. And so we have new birth by the Spirit in this chapter. But there's something else that we have to be started in John's Gospel. To be a wonderful thing to sit down night after night and go through chapter after chapter quietly, just to meditate together on these things. But this problem we have in John's Gospel, the very beginning, that is what we form again. Now that seems impossible, isn't it? We know the life. But when we think of the beginning, we think of limits. But you know, an eternal life, there's no limit. And we have that opened up to us in this very chapter. This ruler who came to the Lord Jesus by night. He was the one, a Pharisee, no doubt of the Sanhedrin, the ruler of the Jews. He was the one of those, whose word was final. In any matters that have to do with either religious or civil affairs in Israel. But that's the highest control, wasn't it? He couldn't take anyone into the things of God, except as the light was given in connection with the law. The Lord was supposed to come in here something in connection with new birth that he didn't understand. And yet it was clearly outlined in the Old Testament. Now we must remember that new birth brought his promise to Israel as a nation. It was Ezekiel. And he told them that thing. His people, though they had rebelled against him, through the promise through Abraham, and his sovereign grace after man had been proved in the place, that he was going to bring about the advent of the Spirit of God, according to the prophet Joel and Ezekiel, that there was going to be new birth. He was going to put a new heart in his people. Not a heart of stone, but a heart of flesh. And this part of the chapter, we have new birth, and really nothing new. But you know, in order to enter into the things that God and Paul, connected with the kingdom of God, which we have here, there must be new birth, whether it be on the earth or Israel in the coming day, are what they think we're out in heavenly things today. Now, you know, we're not going to be on the earth with this when we come today. We may reign over the earth with the Lord Jesus, the soul, but we're not going to be on the earth as living here to our forces. The believer is going to be, that is, if you have Christ, he's going to be in heaven with Christ reigning over the earth. And that's only part of it. That is the inheritance. But in order to enter heaven, there must be this earth. And in order for a Jew in the coming days to enter into the kingdom, in Palestine, he's going to have to be born again. God will have in heaven those who have a nature like his own, born of God. And he's going to have a people on the earth that are born of the Spirit. Now we know they won't be involved by the Spirit as the church is today, but they'll be born of the Spirit. And the Spirit will take control in this world in that day. But with the believer is born as the Holy Spirit indwelling. And now in the beginning of our chapter, we have a little bit to do. We were speaking of the first chapter. We see the Lord Jesus coming in the first chapter to his own, and they rejected him. He came to his own, and his own received him not. And so in John's Gospel, we see the Lord Jesus as the Son of God. He seems from the very beginning as rejected, because the darkness cannot lay hold of the light. Man is in darkness, and in John, in particular, we see the gospel. We see the power of Satan. John, we don't see demons, but we see the hopes of Satan, Satan himself, arraigned against the Lord Jesus. In the other Gospels, we have demons, and we see what the demons are doing, how they are enemies of men. But we don't have that in God. But we have, ye are of your father the devil, is the same, to those who resist the truth. Now, what does that teach us? Why, it teaches us that those that he spoke of in that way were the very leaders of the religious system of that day. Those that have the most light. So you see the Son of God now coming down into a scene where the enemy has taken control, but he has taken control of a man who once has stood in relationship to God altitude. Where was the darkness most manifest? It wasn't with the parents. One of the darkest pictures that we have in the New Testament. It's in the 20th chapter of Luke. There the Lord sets before us a picture of the Pharisees who loved the chief thief. They loved to call master or father in the case of my food. And they were long rules. For a show, they made long prayers. Now that's one of the religious pride. God says, I am Christ. You know, he's going to destroy the house of the proud. But he's going to establish the border of the will. There we have it on the proud and the will. You know, the Lord Jesus, when he was seen in the type of Joseph, and we have it in the Old Testament, prophetically, in the 48th of Genesis, we find Joseph having a portion above his brethren. As Jacob apportions out to each of the brethren, his sons, their portion, prophetically, all that will yet take place in connection with the 12 tribes of Israel, there's one special portion given to Joseph. And he says, one portion have I given thee, which is above thy brethren, the guy taking it out of the hand of the Amorites from my store with my life. Now, you know, dear brethren, those of us who are saved, God wants us to learn to think in spiritual terms. When we're doing mathematics, we have to think in the terms of reason. When we think in God's thought, it has to be along the moral subject, spiritual terms. And so what is the portion now for to learn the spiritual meaning of it? That Job has got above his brethren. Well, that was second. And we have to go back and see where that started. The 34th chapter of Genesis, Shechem was the place where in the whole town all the inhabitants were slain except the widows and the children. What does that teach us? Well, it teaches us that the portion that Jacob gave to his son Joseph was the widows and the children. We don't like to accept that teaching. The natural man doesn't like to be put in the place of dependence. That's the lesson we learned from that. And that's the second little place in order the Lord wants a woman in the course of God. There he comes to claim the portion his father has given him. And in John we have the children. So the first chapter of John, to as many as received him, then gave you the right of time to become children in your thought. Now think of that for a moment. The children of God. We have learned by nature the blessedness of being with family, family life. What a wonderful thing that is. But to be in the place of children, that is nothing like what it would be to be in heaven as one of the children of God. But above that now, the Spirit is in the enjoyment of that by faith now. Having the Spirit, born of God. And those are the lines that we have in John. We've been brought into that new place of children by faith in Christ, by new birth. And so in the first chapter of John, where he's rejected, he brings immediately up the subject of children. And we have sons and daughters generally to be children. And in the epistle as well, one or two occasions it's little children, but in most cases it should be children. It's a relationship. We've been brought into a relationship. Now what is our response? And so the first cry of newborn infants in heavenly things is Abba, Father. Let me give you a little illustration. When we read in the history of Elijah on the earth here, we see him going up into heaven in a chariot of fire. And as he goes up, Elijah is watching. Elijah has been led by Elijah through four distinct places. And he enters the Jordan and crosses the Jordan to the other side. There on the other side of Jordan, he watches as Elijah goes up into heaven. But before he goes up, Elijah says, "What would you want me to grant you? Ask whatever you want to grant you." He says, "I want a double portion of your spirit." He says, "It's a hard thing. But if you see me when I go up, it will be granted to you." Now these are all types. These are all pictures, shall we say, of the good things to come. Elijah there is a picture of the Lord Jesus going up on high. And Elijah is a picture of the believer who sees Christ now ascended and glorified on high. There we see Elijah gets a double portion of the Spirit of Elijah. Now that's the Spirit of God indwelling the believer. Israel is born as a nation and individually in the kingdom. But the believer in the Lord Jesus is as the Spirit in his dwelling. Now here's a man, a Pharisee, leader of the Jews. And he was in that system which opposed the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. It wasn't the Gentiles that he came to, but it was the Jews. It was the Jews that had the oracles of God, and so you see how dark this man was, and the system to which he belonged, how dark it was. It was the system that professed to have the full knowledge that anyone on the earth has of God, the true God. They didn't serve idols, they served the true God, they claimed. They claimed to be the direct seed of Abraham. And so on. And yet, the leaders of them were the ones that opposed and hung the Lord Jesus on the cross. Now, this was the power of Satan manifest in a very particular way. Here's the man. You know, sometimes we thought in our minds how powerfully a Nicodemus comes at night. But that's not the thought here. If we realize the conditions under which Nicodemus came to God. Think of this man, a ruler of the Jews, belonging to that religious system, no doubt one of the Sanhedrin, one who was in the highest position in Israel. And we see Nicodemus here coming at night. He came because he wanted to know more about this faith. Now, he didn't come at first in the open as though he were ready to receive everything, but he came because he had a need in his heart. And the Spirit of God gradually unfolded it to him. But think of what that man had to give up in connection with his position. Think of the position that man was under the power of darkness. Satan, no doubt, having a firm hold on him as well as the rest. Because, you know, dear friends, tonight, a man is under the power of one spirit or another. And the man who takes the position of being the nearest God, if he's a counterfeit, is usually one who has he's under the power of Satan in a very special way. Satan is going to see that he's held in check and used as a tool against the truth. We have a verse in Proverbs that says the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the innermost parts of the belly. Now, under the law, man was appealed to on the ground of the flesh. The biggest flesh, and that's why everything was out of his inheritance. But in the New Testament, the question now of the Spirit. And it's a hard thing for Nicodemus because of the Lord Jesus. The kingdom of God is a different thing from the kingdom on the earth. Now, I don't mean what it's included. The coming kingdom is included. But think of that kingdom which has in its character righteousness. The Jews are looking for a king to come and deliver them from the Romans. They hadn't been born again and they didn't understand the things of God. But the kingdom that the Lord sets before us here tonight in this chapter has to do with righteousness. Not just the kingdom established on the earth, which will be in righteousness, but it has to do with righteousness in the inner part. There has to be a moral change in man. Peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Here is a man who is the ruler of the Jews. He knew nothing of these things. He didn't have a meaning. And the Spirit of God was awakening his soul to ascend to his knees before God. And so he comes to the Lord Jesus by night. He says, "We know you're a teacher." Well, that's all he knew. He knew he was a teacher. The Spirit of God, yet having opened his eyes to see that the Lord Jesus was the Son of God. Yes, the outward evidences were there. He could have read in the scriptures. He could have read the proofs in the Old Testament. He was the one who could open the eyes of the blind. No one else ever did before. The Lord carried all his credentials. But you see, the Spirit of God had to open his eyes. And you're on the face tonight, the Spirit of God will have to open your eyes. But you know, you get salvation through faith in Christ. And so he says, teacher. We know that there are a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles without it except God be with him. But the testimony of John is that Jesus doesn't come from God. He could see he was come from God, but he didn't see he was the Son of God. All the difference. And men today would like to think of the Lord Jesus as come from God as a special teacher. That won't do. No. He was the Son of God. Or he was the imposter, one of the two. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now it looks like the Lord Jesus was not answering this man's odd question. He was trying to find out something about this man, but the Lord Jesus applies the truth right to the conscience of Nicodemus. And he applies to the conscience of Nicodemus the truth that he knew. Now what does that teach us? It teaches us that if we live up to the light that we have, we'll get more. If we don't live up to the light that we have, we won't get any more. How high is the Lord Jesus? Well, he tells him something that he should have known in the Old Testament. Those scriptures you've already mentioned, Job, or Jeremiah 31, or Ezekiel, you knew there had to be new birth. And so we see right away here that man, outside of the revelation of God, no matter how well he's taught in the flesh, he can't enter into the things of God. So Nicodemus answered, you know, I marvel when I read this, how the Lord Jesus, how patient he was with me. How patient he was with man when he came into this world, seen on the street, no doubt, everyday life, mixing among them, sitting down with them, eating with them at their table, talking with them on the corner, he was their friend. That was the Lord Jesus, so it's good. Won't be in here, but he said, let me see him again. So he says, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now the Lord answers him again, but he answers him with truth. And so that applies this faith now, the label of the word God. You know, we don't understand truth till we believe. That's different from nature, you know. Nature has to understand, natural things before they'll believe it. But the things of God, we have to believe, and then you'll understand. Faith comes by hearing. That's our music. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. That's the authority that we believe and that we understand. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Ah, the Lord is leading this thing along lines now that you never thought of before. And it's going to bear fruit too. We see later on how Nicodemus comes to the front, but he has to learn this truth. It's the truth that was even set forth in Ecclesiastes, in part. Turn the letter to Ecclesiastes just for a moment. The fifth verse. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit. Now the way of the Spirit is like unto the rest of the verse. Nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. Now that's the secret of what Nicodemus could have learned, and that is that he needed to be born again to be the works of God who maketh all. The way of the Spirit he couldn't understand. The natural man couldn't understand the way of the Spirit of God. And so, here we have that which is born of the flesh and that which is born of the Spirit. Now, even the one that's born of the flesh is just a child of Adam. He belongs to a creation that's going to perish. Child of Adam. That which is born of the Spirit, whether it's the Jew of the coming day or whether it's of the church today, entirely different creation. A new birth. And so he says, marvel not that I said unto you, ye must be born again. The wind blows where it listeth, now hears the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh. Let it go so that everyone is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Here's a man who is a master of Israel. These things are taught in the Old Testament as the new birth, in principle, as to what Israel needed, and yet he'd be a master of Israel and didn't even know what the old people could do. You know, another established. Israel should have learned from the wilderness that they needed new birth in heaven and earth. Because Israel never was blessed in the ground of the law. And yet Israel was blessed time and time again by God. But each time Israel was blessed, it was on the ground of God's sovereignty. Take the case of their first judge, Othniel, a Gentile. When that plague was saved, after David numbered the people and thousands were slain, the plague was saved at the threshing floor of the room of the Jebusite, showing that God blessed Israel, but he wouldn't bless them in their own land and their own ground. He blessed them on the ground of his sovereignty to his people. It had to be of God himself, not on the ground of their covenant. When Moses asked him what to do, he couldn't rule those people. It was his father-in-law, Jethro, that taught him what to do with the Gentiles. All the way down in the history of Israel, you see God coming in using other means, showing that he was the God who was going to bless the people on the ground of sovereignty and not on the ground of flesh. The flesh promised nothing. But now we have something to read proposed in John 3. And so he's leading them into it. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not of us. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe by telling you of heavenly things? And so we have two things in this chapter. We have earthly things, and we have heavenly things. The Lord has come to tell heavenly things. The Lord Jesus hasn't come to set forth as a prophet that which concerns the covenant, the relationship of Israel, on the ground of the law. No, Moses did that. That table was written with stone. No, the Lord Jesus has come to tell something else. He has come to tell, as we see later in the chapter, of what he's seen and known, being the Father's word. Oh, how different from the law, different from the stone. And that's what God has for man. Heavenly blessing, God's own presence. And that's what the Lord is trying to set before the ruler of the Jews, here he was, under the power of Satan. That whole system, in the hands of Satan, in fact, the very tool, the favor of duty to oppose the truth of God. No wonder the Lord sets before us the living of his children. But a different picture. One dependent, one in need. The pictures before our eyes, we contrast to these who were proud. Going down the long wisdom of pride before God and man, and that very wisdom of pride keeping them out of the kingdom of God. So, he says, and no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Why is he the truth of getting personal? Is he a teacher? Is he just a teacher? So the Lord's bringing right home to Nicodemus, Carson, the very thing that you have to settle too if you're unsaved. That is what he's going to do with Jesus. Is he just a teacher to you? He's speaking out of man. He came down from heaven. He's speaking of the Son of Man which is in heaven. Can you understand that? I can't. Here's one who's in heaven, all in the bosom of the Father, yet he's being down there from man in this world. But what did he come down for? He came down so that you and I might have eternal life. The Son of Man always speaks of rejection. The Lord used that term until that name or title, until he was rejected. No one else gave it to him, nor does anyone else speak to him in that way. But he takes that title himself and is rejected, the Son of Man. Oh, Simon, what a story to tell. Suffering, death, rejection. And yet, that's the same one coming soon in power and glory to execute judgment on the earth. But now the Son of Man has come down from heaven, and he's in heaven. He's the Son of God, but he has come down here as the Son of Man. Well, that's the mystery. Part of the mystery of godliness. And yet we believe. Now he took that mold to lift up the serpent in the wilderness. Even so much the Son of Man be lifted up. A good sinner believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And so he started to speak of heaven and things about it. He's not speaking merely of the birth. That's the first thing. But first, before we go any further, how does new birth come about? Well, there's two things mentioned in connection with new birth. One has to be born of the Spirit and of the Word. Of the Spirit and of the Word. The Spirit is the power that brings us into it. Later on, we see the sealing in the first chapter of the sealing. From the sealing. But that's actually belief. The new birth has to come first, doesn't it? And the Spirit of God is the one who brings that about. But it's as he applies the Word of God to the heart and the conscience. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. The Spirit speaks of having purified their soul to believe in the truth. And also there we have to, whether it's Peter or James, we have born of that incorruptible Word. Of his own will began, yes. It's by the Word of truth. And so, we have the new birth come through the power of the Spirit of God, applying the Word to the heart and to the conscience. And so, we speak of repentance in connection with the new birth. That's a part of it. We seeing ourselves as God sees us. In the light of what God is, we say God strives against ourselves. That's what happens. So here we have new birth in two parts. The Word of the Spirit of God, and also the Word of life and heart and conscience and believe by faith. Now we speak of being saved as what? And so much to confuse these things, but it's nice to have them clear and distinct in our minds. And when we think of God's style, we think of the fact that God is what dishonored by man's sin. All that sin has to be paid for. So the Lord Jesus shed his blood. And God has said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over. When the Lord Jesus shed his precious blood and laid the groundwork, the God will go out and bless him. That's atonement, the propitiation. That's God's side. So the children of Israel left Egypt. You see, they went out of redeemed people, showered on the blood. But then we have also the cross of Christ. And that which separates us from the world and the world comes up. It's the rejection side of things. It's the end of the old man. And so we see ourselves on the other side now, resurrection side. But then there are also the death of Christ. How do all these terms mean? Well,